Oh man, it was so pretty. What is it? What is it? Redness? Blueness? Greenness? Purplish? Wait, I got it. Blackness.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Daily Dose of Blackness, a podcast where we give you all things Black history, Black accomplishments, and Black excellence that you may have missed out on or never even heard of. I'm your host, Caitlin, and it's my job as a Black person to help you learn about Black culture so that we can all live in a world where we can understand each other. Now, get out your laptop, iPad, or good old-fashioned paper and pencil, because it's time for your daily dose. Last week, I said that music professor Les Black was going to be a guest for this episode. Unfortunately, he cannot be with us today. But don't worry, I found someone just as exciting, and her name is Pilar Newton. Pilar is a woman working in the animation industry. She's worked on cartoon classics from Courage the Cowardly Dog to MTV's Daria. She's also done work for Nickelodeon, Ted Ed, and Stretch Films. Pilar owns her own animation studio called Pilar Toons LLC, which is based in Brooklyn, New York. Her animation studio specializes in creating unique animated content for clients. With such a passion and love for animation, Pilar explains how she got involved in the industry.
I became interested like when I was like 8 years old watching Saturday morning cartoons. And you're young. I don't know if you remember the Saturday morning cartoons, but there was a time that's before I had cable. The only time, you know, you could see cartoons were like Saturday morning on the major networks. And now you could just turn on like Disney and Cartoon Network and watch it anytime, which is awesome. But back then it was like kind of more special to me in a way. But I just remember 8 years old watching the Smurfs and saying, oh my God, I don't know how that's done, but I know that's what I want to do. And as soon as my parents discovered that I was like had an affinity for drawing and, you know, they started signing me up for professional art classes. I was taking classes like private lessons with a professional artist in Soho. And I was also, my mom signed me up for like, you know, animation cartoon lessons, I mean, at like Pratt Institute when I was 12. And then I studied at the prestigious School of Performing Arts, Music and Art, LaGuardia High School, otherwise known as the Fame School. So that's, I'm sort of like, I'm classically trained. And then I went to Rhode Island School of Design and majored in film and animation and went on from there, jumped off my career that way. Here I am.
Since Pilar has her own animation studio, I wanted to know more about what led up to her creating her own studio.
Well, it just sort of, actually, in full disclosure, I know I started doing business as Pilar Toons in 2008, but I actually formed my company in 2002. I actually did the paperwork and started a limited liability company, which is like a single proprietor, I don't know if that's the right word, of a business. But then it just sort of like, didn't really do anything with it. I was just sort of like Pilar Toons. So, but then little by little, for some reason, like, you know, work just kind of started drying up for me, which really bites because I've been, you know, very current with my, I've been very current with knowing the technology and stuff like that. But, you know, work just kind of started drying up and I just got tired of waiting for studios to hire me that weren't going to hire me. So I just basically just started, you know, little by little, I just started taking on clients, you know. And one of my first clients was the really famous Jewish website, which is like the biggest Jewish website in the world, Chabad.org. They reached out to me just out of the blue and said, we want to do a web series about that teaches about like the Talmud and the rabbi teaching about like Kabbalah. And so I did a sample for them that only took me about like an hour to do. And then they said, oh, great. We would love to do this with you, which is really pretty amazing, by the way, because the Chabad Lubavitchers, they're very like in their world, you know, like hiring me where I've actually gone to their offices and met with them, and I stuck out like a sore thumb. Like, I'm the only one that wasn't wearing like a coat and a hat, you know, like, and I was like really kind of honored that they reached out to me and, you know, working with me, like, you know, very, you know, it's like woman of color, very non-Jewish, but I respect the faith so much. And I did 100 episodes with them. And it's about like this, you know, this rabbi, he lives in a science lab and he does all these wacky experiments, but they're all metaphors for life lessons. And it was like really fun. Like, we did 100 episodes. It was originally supposed to be like 10 episodes, but it was like ended up being 100. And then from there, you know, just like work started coming in from there. You know, just like, and I have like a longtime clients I've been working with, and that's where I am now.
Like many other career fields, the animation industry is still a predominantly white, predominantly male environment. With being a Black female, I wondered if Pilar made an effort to promote works involving Black protagonists.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime, especially in terms of promoting, the only chance I get to, you know, really promote something is like when I teach to my students. And, you know, I gravitate to animated shorts and movies that have a Black protagonist and like a Black storyline. I mean, I still love Princess and the Frog. And it's like, you know, and then I love The Proud Family, you know, and then when Bruce Smith and Matt Cherry came out with the Hair Love, did you see the animated short Hair Love? If you have a chance to see it, see it. But I attend the Ottawa Animation Festival every year. And I just remember, like, I basically tracked him down. I tracked down Bruce Smith because he's a creator and designer and everything of The Proud Family on Disney, and basically like stopped him. And he was so lovely. I was like, oh my God, it's so great to meet you. And he gave me like a huge hug, and I was like, oh my God, this is Bruce Smith, my hero. You don't understand. Oh my God. And it just like blew my mind how, like, when you meet somebody who you've admired for so long, and he animated Princess Tiana and in the you know Princess and the Frog and like countless other characters in Disney, including The Proud Family, like someone who I've admired for so long, and meeting him blew my mind. This amazing Black animator who like I admire so much. And then so just every chance I get, I show animated shorts to my students, showing diverse voices, you know, Black people of color. And in my own work, so I just recently completed a graphic novel, and I wanted the main character to be a young Black girl, like a young woman, and who wants to be an artist. And she goes on an adventure. And so a lot of times you see kind of like a fantasy adventure story. I'm seeing more and more of them now coming out that have like a Black protagonist, but I wanted to have that in my own work, especially like a Black girl that wants to be an artist. Cause since animation is still like white male dominated, like how great is it to see, I want it. Girls, or anybody really, to see a story about like a girl that wants to be an artist, that goes on an adventure, you know, and holds her own.
Staying on the subject of Black characters, I asked if Pilar if she thought Black characters are represented in a respectable manner devoid of any stereotypes.
You know, I'm starting to see more of that now. Like for instance, in the 90s, every time there was a Black character, they had a basketball jersey on and played basketball. Like literally there was like this like mold that they fit into. You had the Black kid with the flat top, wore the basketball jersey, played basketball. And that was just sort of like the mold, you know, and that everyone fit into. But that's why growing up, we loved shows like Fat Albert. Like we were like like my friends and I, we're literally like the Fat Albert gang. Like,
And even though Fat Albert, like, there might have been like some kind of, there were definitely some stereotypes in Fat Albert, but it was this group of Black kids playing together. And I just remember how much my friends and I loved watching the show because we saw us in that show, you know? So now, fast forward to the late 90s, seeing a show, that's why The Proud Family really stood out, because it wasn't like a white protagonist with a Black sidekick that played basketball. It was like, you know, the mother's a veterinarian, you know, Mr. Proud, like he's a businessman, like, you know, I forgot exactly what he's a businessman. Oh, but he's a businessman. I mean, even like in the Rugrats, Susie Carmichael's family, like their father is like the writer of Dummy Bears, I think, like the characters, the Dummy Bears was, am I don't know if I'm getting that right. And the mother is a doctor, you know, I might have reversed that, but like, and then there are all of these, a lot of really great shows. I don't watch kids television a lot anymore, but I'm going to, so I can't specifically name like a lot up and make an informed answer about it. But one show that really stood out to me that immediately comes to mind is Doc McStuffins. Like, you have this little Black girl that wants to be a doctor. And so hence she's a doctor on all of her toys or her friend's toys. And I think that's freaking phenomenal. You know, the fact that you have this little girl who wants to be a doctor, you know? And so I'm seeing more and more cartoons like that. I've maybe seen two episodes of Steven Universe, but I love the fact that like most of the characters are like these powerful women of color that are just amazing, you know? So I'm seeing like more and more powerful Black, especially Black woman characters, and a lot of shows about like on Netflix. Oh gosh, I can't remember the names of it. There's a couple of shows out there where there is a Black female protagonist. Just that is like just really out there kicking butt. I really want to see even more shows with Black boys, because of what's happening in the world, because of, you know, so many of our Black boys are being murdered in the streets by the police. Sorry, I had to go there. But I would love to just see, you know, more shows out there with Black boys doing positive things. And maybe that would be a sort of like, that would change the hearts and minds of our next generation. And, you know, I know it's, quote, just a cartoon, but you'd be surprised, you know, you'd be surprised. I want to see a show out there with a Black boy in cornrows and baggy jeans out there doing something positive, you know, as long as his jeans go up over his butt.
Since Bilar has worked with numerous companies, I wanted to know if she has any personal projects she's currently working on.
No, you know, I'm actually not very exciting at all. So I'm more than okay with spilling the beans. But I just started a series of comics, and just like comic strips that just talk about the experience of being an animator. Not all of it positive. And I know people are like, Blair, why are you doing like all of these negative comics? And I'm like, it's not really negative. It's just kind of uncomfortable truths. And I just started doing them a few weeks ago, and I just never stopped. So it's just all these experiences of stuff that animators hear. And not necessarily pleasant, just, you know, I'm an animator, and like, what would somebody say to me coming up to me at a party? You know, one of them was somebody came up to me and said, you're such a sellout, Pilar. Like, all of your animation is digital. That means that you're not a real animator, you know? And I have people, you know, people coming up to me saying like, oh, you're an animator. Animate my idea. Like, just like that. And it's just like, I have friends writing to me saying like, does that really happen? And I'm like, every single thing I write has actually been said to me. And it's just been really fun and like cathartic, because I have so many not only animators writing to me saying, wow, I heard that exact thing, but like people in other professions are like, oh my God, you'd be so surprised. Like I'm a musician and I have somebody saying, oh, write my song. Or I've even had someone coming up to me, like a medical professional saying, like people coming up to them saying like, oh, look at this. Does this look infected to you? Like, so it's just like so relatable on so many levels, all the crap and misconceptions that people make of your career. So I'm working on a series of those, and I'm thinking about eventually like doing enough of them to do a book, you know. I'm also a year ago I finished my graphic novel, and I'm about to do part two. And so my graphic novel is about these characters called Snozzlewinks, and their creatures are kind of green, kind of elfin creatures that live in this other world. And it's really funny because I created them when I was 8 years old. I've had them since I was eight. And I just decided, let me do a graphic novel about them, except this time, this is my Black protagonist I was telling you about. I want to meet the Snozzlewinks through the eyes of a Black protagonist that takes us into their world. And so I did that, and it's sort of like I released it on a grassroots level, and I'm hoping to get it, you know, even out there even more. But I'm starting to work on part two and more Snozzlewink stories, so stay tuned.
Finally, now that Pilar has a successful career, I wanted to know her hopes and goals for the future of her studio.
Gee whiz, if I had a goal, that means that there would be an end game, and I'm not there yet. But if I had a hope, is that I want my intellectual property to like really get out there, my graphic novel, and I want it to eventually be a cartoon, even if I do it myself, which will probably most likely be the result. And but my ultimate also, like one of my other goals is, you know, I'm a small company, you know, I want to do some shorts and really get them into festivals and stuff. All the animation I've done over the last like 15 years has been like client work, you know, work I've done for clients. I'm really grateful. I really am grateful for the work, but I have almost nothing to show for myself in terms of my own work, except for my graphic novel, which I'm really excited and grateful for, which is, so I'm hoping this is a turning point for me about getting more of my own work out there. So my goal, at least in the near future, goal is to have some of my own animated short films that I could send out to festivals and get out into the world. So stay tuned.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. It was so cool learning about Pilar and her experiences working in the animation industry. I don't know about you, but I love cartoons, and I appreciate the work she's put in over the years. Remember to follow my Facebook and Instagram accounts at Your Daily Dose of Blackness to get updated on the latest details. Also, be sure to tune in to the next episode. Next episode's guest is a surprise. If you know anyone lacking knowledge on the Black experience, tell them to tune in next time to get their daily dose of Blackness.